Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. God is so good. Amen. I just want to thank God for this wonderful day that He has given each one of you. For us to be alive and to be breathing this morning, it is a miracle of God. Amen. Our city is grieving, and I know most of you know what is going on, and there are people who are alive last week. Some 5 police officers in our city, and today they are not breathing. They have lost, their families are without them. And sometimes we take for granted. It's very easy to take for granted even a day when you wake up and you come to your senses and you feel you still have the energy, you can stretch up, you know, and you can kick. Amen. And sometimes we take it for granted. You know, every single second the Lord gives us is a miracle. Amen. And sometimes we seek for miracles out there, but I believe life in itself is just the greatest miracle the Lord gives to us each and every day. Amen. And we ought to be thankful to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much because none of us is sick. Thank you, Lord, because none of us is without that breath. We have that breath of life. Amen. The ability to think normally. Praise the Lord. I was in a place this coming week, this last week that just passed, and there was a question that was asked, and they asked, you know, how many of you are sick in their bodies? And because the servant of the Lord felt that the Spirit of the Lord wanted him to make a declaration, a healing declaration to the congregation. And when I looked around me, there are many people who rose up. But when I thought about myself, I said, I don't think I'm sick. I don't think there's any part of my body that is aching. You know, and I said, wow. Sometimes we take things for granted. When you know there are so many people who have things, even some things that cannot be mentioned, but they have some heartache of some nature or some sickness. But every day that you're walking and you're healthy and you can eat properly and you can talk properly and you can process things in a normal way, we ought to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, church. Amen. God is good. Give Him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to bring a message that I strongly believe the Lord put in my heart. And if this message is going to bless each and everyone's heart today. And it comes from the book of Luke chapter number 10. And we shall read from verse number 25 to 37. Amen. And my message, I want to entitle it, if you really like titles on a message, Whose Neighbor Am I? Amen. Whose neighbor am I? Can you say that aloud with me? Whose neighbor am I? Hallelujah. So if you're going there, Luke 10, 25, 37. I just love the way Jesus had a way of processing things and answering people. And this is, we're gonna witness an instance in one of the occasions when Jesus stood up to the occasion and he was able to speak the truth of the word of the Lord in an unprecedented way. Luke 10, 25, 37. The subtitle of that section of scripture is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Okay? Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he answered to the Lord, and he said, the Lord answered to this expert of the law. In fact, some translations call him a lawyer. And Jesus answers this man and he tells him, what is written in the law? Praise the Lord. He replied. And Jesus asked this man, how do you read it? And this expert of the law, on verse number 27, answered and said to the Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. And in verse number 29, the Bible said, but he wanted to justify himself. This is the expert of the law and also the lawyer. He wanted to justify himself. And so he asked Jesus. So he asked him, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? In the reply, Jesus speaks about the parable that we all know, and I'm going to read it and so that we can remind ourselves of what Jesus spoke to this man. And so he says in verse number 30, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, or you can put in our currency, he took $2 or maybe $20 in that time, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? So this is the question that he's asking the expert after he had spoken this parable. And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Praise the Lord. Can somebody shout amen? Now, when I read this story, it was really, really, I thought about it, and I was asking the Lord, Lord, you need to break it down for me so that I can understand what you mean by this scripture, and what you need by what message you want to convey to my spirit so that I also convey to my brothers and sisters in church. Now, this man, Jesus had so many people confronting him and asking him various questions. And we know Jesus was God. And Jesus, you know, from a very tender age, you know, spent time in the tabernacle teaching the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Jesus knew the scripture. And in this instance, we find that an expert of the law came just to test him. He wanted to know. And many instances we read in the Bible, there are many people who just wanted to put Jesus into a test. The Pharisees were among them who came and asked Jesus, you know, like I remember an instance like when they brought this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and they bring her up and they wanted to test Jesus. You remember the instance when he healed somebody on a Sabbath, and they wanted to test him and they wanted to ask him questions. Why would you heal on a Sabbath? But Jesus every time had a way of responding to these people. Now, it is very important for us to know that Jesus never came to abolish the law. Praise the Lord. But he came to enhance it. Praise Jesus. Now, at this particular moment, Jesus had not gone to the cross. Amen? And so these people were testing Jesus according to what was written on the law. So this guy was an expert of the law. The Bible, in other translations, as I told you, says that he was a lawyer. And so he wants to test Jesus. He wants to say, let me see if this guy they call the Messiah, whether he knows his stuff. You know? And Jesus responds to him, what is written on the law? So you already know what you need to do in order to acquire eternal life. So why would you come to ask me? It is what is written on the law. And Jesus asked him, since Jesus perceived that he was an expert of the law, can you read? Can you explain to me what is required of you according to the law in order for you to acquire, in order for you to inherit, in order for you to have eternal life? And this man goes ahead and explains everything according to what is required for a person to inherit eternal life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jesus comes and tells him, well said. Then you exactly go ahead and do it. It is one thing for the scriptures to be written in this word, and we can memorize them and we can understand them, but change comes until we apply ourselves to the scriptures. Praise the Lord. This book of the law, it doesn't have any significance to any one of us until we put it down and we begin to walk the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I believe this is what Jesus was communicating to this man. You are an expert of the law. You have memorized the law. And you know almost everything. You know what it takes for a man to acquire eternal life. Hallelujah. But Jesus tells him, now that you know, then go ahead and do it. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise be to Jesus. Now, before I go ahead to what really hit me in this portion of the scripture, I want us to go into the book of 1 John chapter number 4, verse 19 to 20. The first letter of John chapter number 4, 19 to 20. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says, if you're there, the book of 1 John 4, 19 to 20, we love because he first loved us. Praise the Lord. Now, notice what Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 5. Praise the Lord. That thou shalt love the Lord with the whole of your heart and with the whole of your mind and with the whole of your strength. Amen? Come on now, I want you to look at me. I want you to focus. I want you to concentrate. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, because you're going to be blessed after this. Praise the Lord. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6:5 to this man, and he says, this man quotes Deuteronomy 6 because that was what was written in the law. And Jesus agrees with him. And he says, exactly, that was what was written in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And he tells him, then go and do what is written down there. Praise the Lord. But in the book of 1 John chapter number 4, 19 to 20, Jesus is already died. Amen? And now we have been told that we love because he first loved what? He first loved us. Amen. It is good for us to be reminded that in the Old Testament, the law that was written in the book of the law, many things were told, you forgive and it shall be forgiven you. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord with the whole of your heart. But Jesus, after he dies, he exemplifies all these things that he had told us to do. He did them for us. And then he says, just because he loved me, I'm able and have the ability to love back. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he says, we love because he first loved us. Amen. The love of Christ has been placed in our hearts. And so it says it's easier for us to love because Jesus has already loved us. Praise the Lord. And that's why Jesus says that I never came to abolish the law, but I came to enhance it. Praise Jesus. Now, look at what Jesus says. He says that he has forgiven us our sins. And he says that because he has forgiven us, we are supposed to forgive those who have wronged us. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is in our hearts. Forgiveness is in our lives. Love resides within us. Praise be to Jesus. Let me give an example. Many, many times, especially in this country, guys, let me tell you, Willie Daniels, you have a beautiful nation here, including the school systems. You know, back in where I come from, When you study for, when you go to class and you're studying for a material, you're not, you at the end of the semester or at the end of the term, they bring you a test that that causes you to remember everything that you learned. And mind you, you don't have any multiple choice. You're not given any options to, you know, when you're given multiple choice, like alternatives, you are able to be reminded, oh, I never read anything like this. But they are supposed, you know, they bring us that test, you know, with a kind of like a harsh mentality, wanting us to recall everything that we learned throughout a term. But you know what? We made it. You made it. Hallelujah. I've taken a class whereby the teacher gave me everything that was supposed to be in a test. And we go through all the questions, and if the teacher tells me everything that is on that, on everything that we went through, is what is going to come on Tuesday. And we go through, and mind you, it is still going to have multiple choice, and the teacher went through it with us. And so on Tuesday, when I'm reading the paper, I'm just recalling everything that Mr. Smith went through with me. And so I'm just spending about maybe 5 minutes to put the right answers. Hallelujah. How do you like that kind of a system? I like it. You know why I like it? Because if I can, anything that is easy made easy for me, I would love it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is exactly what Jesus does. He goes through the cross, and he suffers, and he is beaten, and he does this because he loves you. Hallelujah. And because he has done what it takes in order to purchase you from sin and from the quagmire of sin, he has placed love in your heart, and he says, now you can go and love. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, it is supposed to be easy to love. Why? Because the Lamb of God came from heaven and came down on this planet, gave his life, and he loved me before I loved him. And now he has placed that love in my life, and now it ought to be easy to love somebody. Oh, if I'm preaching good, say amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus says that I came to enhance the law. I never came to abolish the law. Praise the Lord. And so this guy, expert of the law, comes to test Jesus, and he tells him, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And he tells him, and he reads Deuteronomy, and he tells him, go do as you have read. Praise the Lord. Maybe to go through what that means, probably the heart would explain or kind of like would encompass the whole characteristic of what a human being is. And the heart probably tells us that you should love him with the whole of your heart. Amen. And maybe we can explain what it means in the book of Deuteronomy 6:4, what it means by the heart. When the Lord says that you ought to love him with the whole of your soul, what does it mean? Hallelujah. When he says that you have to love him with all your whole, with your soul, it means the warmest affection that you can have for the Lord. You know, just serving the Lord is not, we don't serve the Lord just as a duty. Amen? When we serve the Lord as a duty, oh, you know what? I'm going to church because it's a duty. I'm just going to answer a roll call. We go to work not because sometimes we like going to work, but we are going to work in exchange of what we get from work. But when we serve God, we are serving him from the bottom of our heart because of what we know he is to us. Praise be to God. And he says that's how we ought to, when we serve him, when we love him with the whole of our souls, it is that emotion that comes from the core of us expressing out to him, telling him, God Almighty, I recognize your sovereignty. I recognize your intelligence. I recognize your power. I recognize your supernatural power. Lord, I love you unconditionally. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. What does it mean when he says to love him with the whole of your strength? It is your greatest vigor, the strength that he has placed in your bones, the strength that he has placed in your will, the strength that he has placed in your persona. Amen? Not you know, not just doing it and not doing it with a mentality that I'll do it up to a certain point, because up to a certain point I cannot do it no longer. But it's just giving everything, surrendering to the Lord, telling God, I offer my life, I offer my service to you. Amen. And then he says, loving him with your mind. It is loving with your understanding, loving him with the intellect that he has given you. Praise the Lord. Not reserving anything, not putting anything aside. Praise be to God. With understanding, with the wisdom that he has given you. Hallelujah. That is what he means by that. And it's telling him, you know, if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, it is a total surrender. It is a total commitment to the Lord. And how I pray that we should rise up as a church in America, that we may intercede and pray for the things that are happening around us. Let me tell you, church, if the church really rises up to what it is today, we can cause a turnaround in America. We can cause a turnaround in our city. We can cause a turnaround in our neighborhood. If we can call upon the name of the Lord with the whole of our strength. Hallelujah. But what catches me, which is a connection and which is a qualifier for this expect to inherit the kingdom of heaven. He comes to the Lord and he says he wanted to justify himself. And I was asking the Holy Spirit as I was reading this, and I looked into the mirror. I looked this scripture and it reflected, and I was asking myself, Lord, how many times have I justified myself? How many times have I said that I've done this, Lord? I've done the other. I've loved so and so. I've gone an extra mile and kind of like justifying myself. And I thought that maybe I accomplished everything. And many times I thought that maybe I'm doing well. But how is the prime line of the Lord? How does it measure with what I think in my life as my service to my God? And this guy says he wanted to justify himself. And he asked the Lord, Lord, who is my neighbor? Have you ever asked yourself about that question whenever you read that parable? That he never asked, he never had any question as regarding what the Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy, the first few verses. He never asked question about how do I love you with the whole of my heart? How do I love you with the whole of my strength? How do I love you with the whole of my... He knew that. He knew that was perfect. He didn't have any question. But when he came to service to another person, he wanted to know, but Lord, who is my neighbor? Ah, Jesus. Who is my neighbor? He asked the Lord. Because he wanted, the scriptures say, he wanted to justify himself. And we can go through into, I want us to travel through into the mind of this expert. And what he had in mind when he poses these questions to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What could he have thought when he thought about his neighbor? Praise the Lord. And I asked myself, what could he have thought? Maybe he thought about... a geographical, that a neighbor, I wanted to know my neighbor so I can know up to what extent I can do and know my limitations. There was limitations when he asked this question. And when he talked about his neighbor, he probably maybe thought about the proximity. He wanted to know the person that he was going to be in love with. And I'm talking about, you know, the love that Jesus was telling him. You have to love your neighbor. He wanted to know, I need to know first of all, because before I can love my neighbor, I need to know who I'm going to be in love with. Have you ever asked yourself with that question? Can anybody in your life be your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Is your neighbor a person who looks like you? Is your neighbor a person who talks like you? Is your neighbor a person who comes from the same geographical location? Is your neighbor a person who looks like A, B, C, D, but when it comes to their characteristics as E, F, and G, oh, that cannot be my neighbor. That can be somebody else's neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Oh, Jesus. He has sought to understand who he was going to be bound with
in this love that Jesus said that in order for me to inherit the kingdom of heaven, you have to love your neighbor. He also sought to understand, he could have sought to understand the boundaries of his geographical neighborhood required by this command. Do we only love people who are in our neighborhood? Who is our neighbor? Praise the Lord. He could also have wanted to know the extent of his obligation, as he may be unwilling to go, and he would be unwilling to go an inch farther. You know, love, let me tell you guys, when I was in school, I learned about speed. Speed is a natural phenomenon. And you know what you define speed? Speed is the distance traveled per the time. That is what speed is. That is a natural phenomenon. Love is not a natural phenomenon. But love is an issue of the heart. Are you listening to me? It is an issue that God is a God's quality that has been deposited in our lives. And when he's talking about who is my neighbor, he wanted to know, I want to know who my neighbor is, because I am thinking love is just like a natural phenomena that I'm obligated to offer up to a certain extent. That means if my neighbor doesn't look the way I am thinking about, maybe I may offer a certain measure of love, and I can offer no more than one inch more. Who is your neighbor? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who is your neighbor? And Jesus gives out this parable to him. He talks about what we just read, that a certain man, he doesn't even address, we don't even know who this certain man is. That means he tells him, in other words, what Jesus longs to communicate to this expert of the law is to tell him that your neighbor can be a certain man. Doesn't have a name, doesn't have an address, doesn't have, we don't even know who this man is. But he said, a certain man was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, if I remember my history well, Jericho and Jerusalem is in Israel. So it's just like asking me, like if I ask somebody who was traveling from a certain city in Kiambu, walking, going to another city in Kiambu, that I would not even think that person maybe would come from western district of western part of our country. Or if somebody lives in a Cedar Hill, you know, and going to maybe the DeSoto area, and you know, was wounded there. I can have an imagination what that kind of a person is from. Praise the Lord. So I'm thinking this person might have been a Jew. Amen. But the Bible regards him as a certain man. And so the Bible says that the priest came, and as he came, he found this guy that was beaten by the robbers, and he looked at him, and he just went on his way. And then he says, a Levite. Now, a Levite is a caretaker of the synagogue. A Levite is like a pastor, like Pastor Tony. Comes and finds this person who is wounded, beaten up, bleeding. Looked at him, and he went on his way. Didn't even care. In fact, I was wondering if the Bible doesn't say, what if the Bible would have told us that the priest came and saw this man and said, oh my God, I can't believe they did this to you. Oh, but I'm looking at my suit. I don't think I, anyway, hope God comes and God sends somebody to come and help you. That would have even looked worse. But they never said anything. But the Levite, can you imagine the Levite of all people? Comes by and then he said, oh God, I can't believe this is the area that I've always never wanted to pass by, because I knew robbers stationed here. Thank God that they hit him and I'm safe. And then left him and went. Tomorrow I'm not going to pass by there because I see how they clumbered him. But don't we do that many times? It could be church, listen to me, and I'm saying this very passionately, and I'm including myself in there. Sometimes we may do it even unawares. people who have needs and wounds all around us. All around us. And God expects us to be His extended hands. Are you listening to me? And God expects us to respond to whoever's men. The person who doesn't have an address, a person who in the eyes of society looks like he's a loser, who in the eyes of the society could have gone astray, and he went by himself, and people have branded him and called him names and disqualified him and just threw him in the dumpster and hallelujah. There's wounds all around us. People who are discouraged. It is our responsibility, because of what Christ has done in us, who suffered shame on that old rugged cross for our sake. And He has loved us. And the Bible has just told us that we love because He first loved us. And then the Bible talks about this man who is coming. And the Bible calls him a Samaritan. And he is coming. And he is coming and finds this man who probably we thought was a Jew. Now, you have to understand that there was enmity between Samaritans and the Jews. You know that? You remember Jesus in the... Jesus coming and found the Samaritan woman by the pool. You remember that story? I think it's in John chapter number 4, I think. Where this woman, Jesus comes and asks her, "Can you give me a drink?" And this woman goes like, "Aha, what? As far as I know, we cannot communicate. Jews don't communicate with the Samaritans." It's a hatred that emanated, that started long time ago. You know, when the Samaritans took over the northern part of the kingdom of Israel. And that enmity is still there. Was still there at the time of Jesus. Hallelujah. Huh? But this Samaritan comes and looks at him. This Samaritan, the Bible doesn't ask us that he addresses this wounded man and asks him, "Hey, by the way, what is your name?" Can you imagine? Do you know that's what we do? We do that sometimes. Whose fundraiser is it? Who is that I had that was knocked by a car down and they are doing a harambe? You want to know? And if it's that person, oh, you know what, I got another engagement. You know, there's this thing that we were supposed to go. And but the Samaritan, they had a perfect hatred with the Jew, even though the Bible doesn't tell us whether he was a Jew or not. But he immediately comes out of his donkey, gets out his bandages, and he begins to wrap out this certain man. Oh, Jesus. And he begins to wound him and wrap him up. And he doesn't even care who he is. And he is wrapping up. And, you know, it's like he was ready. You want to tell me that this Samaritan didn't have anything to do? He was on a journey going somewhere, right? As we all say, "Hey, you know what? I have things to do, people to meet." And what do we normally say? Huh? We say things like that. "Hey, man, I have no time. I have people to meet, things to do, and whatever to do." He was on a journey. I believe. Listen. The priest was coming from Jerusalem. They had come. I believe they had gone there to worship the Lord because the temple was in Jerusalem. And so it was after the service. They had met with God in the presence. Will Daniels. They were just from the temple, I believe. And so it was probably in the evening. And they had spent time in the presence of the Lord. And they would say, "Oh Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your presence in the temple. Oh God. Oh thank you. Thank you Jesus. Thank you Lord." And suddenly, a person who is hurt and bleeding. So I was asking myself, how many times have I also been in the presence of the Lord? Because every time we're in the presence of the Lord, and situations comes and it's kind of, there's a disconnect between what God is speaking to me about His love and things that I'm supposed to display to Him and kind of manifest His love for us. But this Samaritan wrapped him up. He wrapped him up, put him on top of his donkey,
He was here somewhere to go. But he discontinued his journey. He discontinued where he was going to attend to this wounded man. Praise the Lord. Takes him to an inn, pays him money, and even tells the innkeeper, I give you this money and whatever bill that comes on, please bill it to me. And Jesus turns the whole question around and he asks this expert of the law, whose neighbor was he? He didn't ask him, who is my neighbor? See, when you ask that question, it shows that you have limitations. You're putting boundaries and limitations to the people that you ought to display or to show who your neighbor is. But Jesus answers the question, and he expected him to ask him a question, whose neighbor am I? What question do you ask? Are you asking who is my neighbor or whose neighbor am I? And Jesus speaks to this Samaritan, to this expert of the law, and he asks him, who became the neighbor to the wounded man? In other words, God expects us to carry help wherever we go. Amen? He expects us to carry encouragement wherever we go, because he knows that we are bound to meet with somebody who needs it. God expects us, and he knows that we are bound to meet with somebody who is wounded along the way. He may not be literal wound that is bleeding or something, but somebody might be bleeding inside of their heart. Are we ready to stand up and tell somebody that this is what silver and gold have I none, but such as I have do I give thee. Hallelujah. Whose neighbor are you? And Jesus asked him, who became the neighbor to the wounded man? Now notice, this man who was an expert of the law probably could have been a Jew, right? But he never even mentions the Samaritan, because Jesus specifically mentions the priest, he mentions the Levite, and he mentions the word Samaritan. But he doesn't mention Samaritan by name. He says, oh, it is the man who showed him mercy. That means he still had this kind of limiting thing that, as far as I'm concerned, I cannot relate with the Samaritan. But Jesus wanted him to prove to the man that even a Samaritan can be your neighbor. Oh, can you say an amen, somebody, if you're getting blessed? Jesus wanted to prove that anybody within the human race can be your neighbor. A neighbor is not only somebody who is close to you, but a neighbor can becomes a neighbor when they have a need and there is a throbbing desire and outpouring desire to love that person regardless of who they are. That person might be in Asia. That person might be in Australia. That person might be in Kenya right now, but you can become their neighbor. Amen. A neighbor can be anybody who has a need, and you're there, right there. You may not even know them, but when you see this need, you say, God, I know you've sent me to meet with this need. I may not have silver, I may not have gold, but I can pray for this person and bring a change in their lives. That becomes an automatic neighbor to you. Are you listening to me? Whose neighbor are you? Whose neighbor am I? Amen. The neighbor, your neighbor can be as diverse as the entire human race. I know you cannot change the life, the world of everybody, but you can change the life of one person that God draws into your lives. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. And as we go home tonight, I would like to go asking ourselves, yes, the Lord has told us that, you know, we need to love him with the whole of our souls, with the whole of our entire hearts, and with our strength and with our minds. But then he says, then you have to love your neighbor as yourself. And we need to ask ourselves as we go home, whose neighbor am I? Amen. Are you willing to give your all? Are you willing to serve your people? Let me tell you, Christian service, in order for us to qualify God, in order for us to qualify as people who serve God, then we have to retrospectively serve other men. Amen? That is how they are going to know that Christ lives and dwells in our lives. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? True religion. What is true religion? What is true religion? What does the Bible talks about true religion? It is visiting the widows and... Oh, come on. I know you're Bible readers, and I know you know this. What is true religion? It is when we tend to the orphans and the widows. Praise the Lord. That is true religion. That is when God qualifies us as men and women. When we serve other people that I need, then Christ's glory is seen. Are you listening to me? And I know I'm speaking to somebody right now. And so let us ask us questions. Have we been that priest? Have we been that Levite when we went and found somebody sick and wounded and we never cared? And you know what? We may have done that unconsciously. But can we ask God to revive our hearts again? Can we ask God to sensitize our hearts again so that we can see the needs of people all around us and not pass judgments as to who these things have hit or to whom these people are, but just to love them because Jesus loved us. Amen. Shall we stand on our feet right now in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful for the fact that you loved us, O Lord, even before we loved ourselves. You chose us, Lord, even when we didn't know who we were. And Father, you've given us hope of eternal life. I just want to thank you, Father, because you've saved this, your children here. And I thank you, Father, for the rich heritage that you've given each one of them. And I pray that even as we conclude this service, Lord, we are going to go home asking ourselves, whose neighbor am I? Rather than asking, who is my neighbor? We will be asking these questions, whose neighbor am I? And I feel that like there's some people who have special needs that need to be prayed for right now. I'd like you to lift up your hand. Wherever you are, we are going to pray together. It could be maybe in relation to what we just spoke here today about asking yourself, whose neighbor am I? It could be maybe you have a heartache. It could be maybe you have a need that we need to pray together. Just lift up your hand. We are going to pray. I can see those hands. Just lift it high before the Lord. The Lord knows no boundaries. He expects us also to have no boundaries in serving others. Lift up your hand. We are going to pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you for each and every person who lifts up their hand. Their need, Lord, is not unknown to you, O God. And according to your word, Father, you say in your word that you will not withhold anything good to your beloved. Lord, I pray that you may touch each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, touch their needs, O God. Meet with them according to your riches in glory. In Christ Jesus, Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray that you shall open up our eyes that we may see you clearly. In the name of Jesus, that you may help us to appropriate your word and to see as you spoke it, Lord, in the scriptures. In the name of Jesus. I declare that you shall give this beloved a great week ahead. I take power and authority over every scheme of darkness. Any assault that is being manufactured in the kingdom of the devil, laid out against each one of them. Lord, I cancel every plot of the devil in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon that is fashioned against any one of them that shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, I declare that they are victors and they are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you shall humble us, Lord, that we may know who you are by serving others. Whose neighbor am I? Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. Give him a hand of praise in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Sammy. Hallelujah. Amen.